and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I am joined by a very special guest. She is an artist, she's a publisher, she's an illustrator. There's not much she doesn't do in the world of art and publishing. It's Amanda Gorman. How are you doing today, Amanda?
Hello. I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, for those folks who may not know much about Amanda Gorman, can you give me a better intro than what I just gave you, basically?
Sure. So I'm a Gold Coast local. Been here not all my life, most of my life, since 2000, but before that I grew up in Brisbane. And I'm an artist of all sorts. I do illustrations. I've recently done a kids' book. I work with Gold Coast Street Press, Blank Street Press, and the Gold Coast Music Awards. And as far as art goes, I'm an artist in all different genres, so lots of different bits and bobs on the hop.
Very cool, very cool. Now, in regards to your artwork, where did the creativity start for you? Like, were you a creative kid, drawing and doodling and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, very much so. So I've always been artistic, right from being a small child, so was one of the top art students in my classes always at school. And you know, growing up, even thinking I might have wanted to be a art teacher or something like that, ended up going and being a makeup artist. I wanted to work in film and did that, did all my entertainment makeup and special effects and all that sort of stuff. And eventually it's come full circle back to being an artist drawing. So it's always been there. I just didn't always pursue that way.
What? Why give up on the film, the makeup artistry for film?
Well, with the film side of things, I only gave that a little nudge because I thought that was what I wanted to do. And ever since I was very little, I don't know if you remember, everyone would know Michael Jackson's Thriller. When that came out, I was quite small. And that was the thing that made me go, I want to do that, because we got for Christmas one year it must have been a VHS, like a video of the making of that. And they went right back into how, you know, the monster makeup, how he transformed and all of that, and it was incredible. And so that's what I was like, I'm doing that. So then after learning all that, and then I went and sat on a couple of film sets and realised it's not a really fast-paced job for a makeup artist. There's a lot of sitting around and a lot of waiting. And I'm just not, I'm a real go-getter. I'm a real get moving, get in there. And I just, like, it was like I hadn't thought about that side of it until I got there and went, oh, wow, I don't think I can do this. So then I started using my makeup to do, like, photo shoots and things that were on location that were probably a little bit faster, and doing weddings where you're under pressure, and runway stuff. And then eventually I just got sort of tired of doing all of that, and then had kids and all those sorts of things. So life sort of moved on.
And that's when you sort of took more of an artistic direction in regards to your sketches and drawings and whatnot?
Yes, that's. I've only actually been doing the drawings officially and sketches and pushed out as a official artist in the last, say, 5 years. And it's quite a sad story, really. My mother started to decline with dementia, and you know, I'm a really bubbly, happy person, and nothing ever gets me down. I'm always very chipper. My friends call me like Chirpy Chirpleson. And I was really sad with that, because it was like, it's when you lose someone with dementia, it's like you're grieving someone before they go.
Yeah.
You have to go see them every day and they're in your face, but they're not there, you know. And I was brokenhearted, and I had to think about, you know, what makes me happy? What am I going to do here? Like, I need to, you have to still be a mom and go to work and do your things. And that's something that when I was thinking about things, that's what I identified made me happy. I love creating and I love drawing. And so I sat down and I drew a piece on Amy Winehouse, and everybody just went off. Like, everybody that saw it was like, wow, Amanda, you can draw like this? Like, we didn't know, you know, and everyone wanted to buy a copy of it and put it on a T-shirt, or all these things started happening. And then it was sort of born from that. It became like, that was like the demand for me to start doing something else. Someone would say, can you draw me this? And then it just went on and on. So That's not that long ago.
No, no, very cool, very cool. And so you were chatting earlier about doing illustrations for children's books. I'm very curious to know, because obviously somebody else writes them, you do the pictures. So tell us about the communication to make sure that you guys are both on the same page so that, you know, you're drawing what they want to see, basically.
Yes. So we're two mums from the school that my kids go to. We didn't know each other. Somebody put my name forward to say, you know, you've written this book, you need an illustrator. She'd put it out on her networks and we connected that way. So it wasn't like we were, you know, mates and knew each other and knew each other's personalities or anything like that, but we did hit it off pretty much straight away. And because it was a self-published thing, it's not like a traditional way of doing illustrations, I guess. So I can't really talk about how that process would go normally, but for us, it was just backwards and forwards a lot to begin with, just to get it right, to get that style right.
So, for example, you would draw like a little sketch like of what you were thinking and you would send it to her and she'd say, yes, Amanda, but could you do it more like this? And then you'd go, is that sort of how it sort of worked?
Yeah, kind of. So when she wrote the book first, she laid it all out in a document that had, you know, page one, page two, whatever. And then above that, she had in a different font or colour what she thought the picture should be for that specific page. So from that, then I could have an idea of, you know, this is going to be a drawing of this or that. But the first thing that we needed to nut out was there's so many different styles you can do, you know, and I'm being like a really versatile artist. I can do a lot of different things. So we had to first nut out what she wanted, you know, and it was funny because she's not a creative, and trying to speak to someone and find out when they say, like this, you know, she'd show me or she'd tell me, say, I like watercolour pictures, and then she'd show me like this and it would be a digital drawing and I'd say, okay, so that's not watercolour, that's done, you know, and then we'd together just backwards and forwards would go and work out, okay, so this is the kind of thing that she's looking for. And so then I would sort of go back and say, now this sort of style. And then once we got that locked away, then we would start working, like drilling down on the characters themselves and what she envisioned them to look like. And then I would put my own spin on it, because you've got to think about what that character's personality is and how you're going to shine that through. So backwards and forwards a bit with that. And then once we sort of nailed that down, it was just full steam ahead.
So once you sort of had a fair idea of what you both were on, you could sort of motor on and do the pictures pretty seamlessly. There was no real edits, so to speak.
Not really. It was once we got that first part out of the way of who everybody was, what they looked like, and just even scenes and things. It was pretty easy. So things like when she's first, you know, writing about it, it would be, you're talking about like a setting and you'd think, hang on, are we making this really Australian? Is there going to be like jacaranda trees or you know, even wattle or something like that growing in these scenes? Or are we making it, are we in the city? Are we in like somewhere like London or Melbourne? She hadn't really sort of said that stuff yet. So once we, at the beginning, kind of nutted all of that out of how this was all going to play out, it was just a matter of rolling it out then.
And did you find that a really fun experience?
Loved it. Yeah? Yeah. It's a lot of work, but it's, yeah, I love it. Loved it so much.
And what if people want to go and check the book out, where can they do that? What's it called?
The book's called Too Tight for Tilly, and it's about a little girl who she grows out of her favourite shorts, and the favourite shorts are her favourite shorts because her grandmother has made them for her. And there's no sort of indication in the book exactly why the grandmother's not around anymore. So she, you know, she could be overseas or she could have passed away. We don't really know. But she's got this connection to the shorts and she's grown out of them, and they've got to have, a way to get these shorts, replaced, I guess. So you can buy the book on my website. It's Amanda Gorman Artist. .com, so just www. And it's probably, I'd say, up to probably 10-year-olds, boys and girls, would be suitable for.
And would I be correct in suggesting that there may be a couple of other books maybe in development in the bubble that you might be doodling away in the background?
Yes, totally, yes.
You're super excited about all that?
Yeah, oh, for sure. So there's already a sequel that's been written to that book. It's another offshoot of the same same characters. And then I've been working on my own little books as well on the side. So,
and how have you found, because obviously, as in writing them as well?
Yes.
So how have you found writing them, because obviously it's all you now, it's all about Amanda.
Yes.
So how has that been?
It's been good, yeah. It's I guess you don't have that pressure of having to ask anyone else, you're getting into anyone else's head, I guess, because it's all in your head. But it's funny, I still like to bounce everything off other people too. And I've been working, my daughter has been helping me a lot with these next ones because she's very creative as well. And okay. So I'm kind of getting inside her head for characters and things. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's been great.
Very cool. Now, as you said in your introduction, you also work for Blank Street Press magazine. Can you tell us what your role is at the magazine and tell us a bit about Blank Street Press as well?
Sure. So I look after all the partnerships for Blank, and that's basically, you know, bringing on board advertising, having partnerships where we would be a media partner for at a festival on the coast or something that's happening, an event. And Blank itself, it's a street press that's out monthly. We've been around since 2013, and we distribute between Byron Bay and Brisbane on a monthly. And it's all about music and art and community. It's very local driven. There's lots of food, environment, what's on, all those sorts of things. There's a gig guide. It's great.
And why is it important for a publication like Blank Street Press to exist? Why is that important?
Well, for us, we were finding that there was nothing like us on the coast. Back when we started, there's still really nothing like us. There's lots of glossy little mags and things that have got their stories and all of those sorts of things, but there was nothing that was kind of for the community that was that way inclined, that was, you know, talking about all of, you know, music, art, culture. We were finding that people from outside the city were looking at the Gold Coast as a bit of a cultural wasteland, for one, which we knew we weren't. We know that there's so much going on here and there's so much wonderful things happening, but nobody was sort of shining a spotlight on that. And even the people that live here, they didn't really have anywhere that was, you could find all together in one place, all of those cool things to go and see.
And so how can we encourage more artists and more local art to be produced? What can we do to make the Gold Coast or in fact, people who might be listening overseas into their communities? What's some great advice that you can give to have more art and artists be encouraged and to produce more work? What can we do?
I think, I guess, just doing things where you're getting artists together, you're encouraging art in your local workplace, you know, things like instead of just picking a picture or an image that's online for your product that you're producing, or, you know, engage local artists in things and invite local talent to be doing all of the things that, you know, you could be collaborate with people, all of those sorts of things.
That's fantastic advice. I really like that. Yeah, because it's so important. So instead of, for example, if you run a business, instead of just getting some digital bloke to just do a boring logo, maybe engage in a local artist and say, what's something really cool you can do
exactly
for my business? That sort of stuff.
Exactly. I've just done a wine label for a new local wine producer. And that's amazing. Things like that, opportunities for an artist, it's fantastic. So normally you'd have a wine label. It's just got a logo and a name and says Chardonnay or whatever it says on the front. And their whole logo that they've asked me to produce is a whole piece of art the whole way. So it has got their name written very slightly down the side. But when you look at that bottle of wine, it's a piece of art on the front. And if you look in any of the fridges in like a bottle shop, you don't see it like that.
And I would assume, just me personally, something like that's going to increase your sales because it stands out, it's different, it's creative. Would you concur?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's got a real point of difference. You know, when you're looking along the shelves, it's a beautiful piece of art sitting there. You know, you're going to grab that one for sure.
No, I think that's wonderful, wonderful advice. And what about festivals and things like that? Is there anything we can do to encourage people to maybe either enrol their work in more festivals or have more festivals going full stop?
I think we should always have more festivals. be it music, art, anything.
What are the benefits? Like, let's say a local council member from anywhere in the world is listening to this, mm-hmm. sell it. Why should we care? Why should we have festivals, art, music, whatever? What's the benefit?
I think the benefit's not just for the artists involved, obviously, but it's for the community to come together, and depending on where it is and what it is that you're doing. But it's something that everyone can be proud of as a city or as a town, and you can be supporting your local people. You can be... like I said before, collaborating with different people, you might get some wonderful connections and have new things open up that way. And even like we also run the Gold Coast Music Awards, and they're part of another festival that we have on the coast. We sort of sit in their time frame over that weekend. But part of what we do with that is all of the artists that we have that come through our Music Awards, we speak to all of the organisers on the coast that have all the different festivals and say, hey, look at all these guys. If you're going to have book someone to play, or you need someone to fill a spot on a stage or whatever, this is where you should go. I think it's just the more you do festivals and have events like that, the more you can learn to collaborate and everybody benefits then.
Absolutely. No, I agree. Plus, I mean, if you think of it purely on a greed point, you get more people into your town and,
yeah.
you know, it's a wonderful thing to liven up the community and
exactly.
get people engaged and involved and all that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
Very cool. Now, is there anything in regards to your art? Is there anything you're working on now that you want to, besides the books, obviously, is there any other little bits and pieces you want to tell us about?
So I've always got a whole host of commission work that I do. So there's a lot of people will say, can you draw this for me? Or I would like a bit of a collection of this or whatever. So I've got a bit of things like that on the hop. But I'm also looking to... I'll have an exhibition sometime next year, and it'll be like large-scale drawings of mine. And I won't say too much about it now, but that'll be next, my next focus, to be getting that ready. It's a big process to get an exhibition together.
How many sort of, can you give us a clue as to how many pieces where you're
needing? There'll probably be about 10 okay. large-scale pieces. So probably looking at least, I guess, a meter and a half wide.
That's big.
Yeah, yes. So.
And are you enjoying that process of producing that work? Is that something you're really enjoying?
Oh, love it. That's just my life. You know, that if I could do that all day, every day, I would. But it's you can't. You've got to live your life, and you've got to take kids to school and do all of those things. But I lose myself when I draw. It's like I said. That's the thing that made me happy when I was sad, and it's my happy place.
Kind of like your therapy.
It is because, so I do a couple of different styles of art. So when I do drawing, that's the real therapeutic, like I can lose myself for hours in that, because you have to be very precise. Like the style of drawing I do is very realistic. So you really have to throw yourself in and hone in on, you know, exact details. So that's very calming and lovely. But then I also do abstract, like ink work. So it's all ink, and you mix it with like an alcohol, and it billows out, and it just, you kind of are at the whim of it doing its thing. You have to obviously manipulate it and move it around and add your depths of colour and all of those things, but it's a lot more fluid, you know. So between the two of those, it's great.
Ah, good for you. Fantastic. I love it. So if people want to learn more, I know you gave the website a quick plug earlier on, and also your social media, because I assume mm-hmm. you post on social media with updates and whatnot. So
yes.
tell us, everybody, where they can go and learn more about Amanda Gorman.
Thank you. So I've got Instagram and I've got Facebook, and they're both, the handles are just Amanda Gorman Artist. So it's pretty easy. And same with the website. It's all the same. I've tried to keep it easy so that everybody can find it.
So we just Google Amanda Gorman Artist and a whole heap of things will appear.
Yes, yes. As well as Amanda Gorman the Poet from, did you see the Amanda Gorman the Poet from the States in America? She wrote a beautiful poem, and she's gone off across the world. Everybody has been messaging me.
Asking to write poetry for them?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I say ride that bandwagon, start writing poetry is what I say.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's a beautiful young girl. And, yeah, she's skyrocketed. It's so very funny that everybody's in touch with me as well.
Well, if I were you, I'd call the lawyers and force her to change her name. It's cease and desist letter, you know? Quick sticks.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much joining us today, Amanda. Please, everybody, check her work out. And, of course, thank you for listening to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Of course, rate and review the podcast, like and subscribe, all that sort of good stuff. And, of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, thank you again, Amanda.
Thank you.
And until next time, we will talk to you then.